We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ron, it's time to talk to our friend and yours, Mr. Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com, and our timing is absolutely impeccable. Some would say incrinculent. He just put out a mock draft 4 hours ago. No, 3 hours and 1 minute ago, Ron. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
We've never been better, and we're very excited to see what the Steelers do in this draft. But I'm going to start at the very, very top. You have Jalen Carter going first to the Bears. And then your quarterbacks in order are Young, Stroud, and Levis, which is very interesting to me.
You know it's Levis, don't you? What do you call him?
Well, I thought it was Levis. It was Levis and Butthead, Levis, Ron. That's beside the point right now, Ryan. So Jalen Carter at the top, and then talk about the quarterbacks a little bit.
Yeah, so there were no trades in this mock draft, and there will be trades in subsequent ones because that's what you got to give the people what they want. But, so Jalen Carter, the Bears aren't going to take a quarterback. That would be pretty amazing, and they'll probably try to trade down, in which case they can stockpile some picks and perhaps get some offensive line help for Justin Fields as well. But whether it's Jalen Carter or Will Anderson, and I'll give you guys a name to watch out for, Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech, he's going to be in the conversation as one of those first non-quarterbacks off the board too, which sounds nuts, but he's a special player. I'm down in Mobile, Alabama right now for the Senior Bowl, and we talked to him for a little bit on Wednesday. He didn't practice. He's recovering from an injury. But my word, he looks the part. When you watch him play, it even makes you feel better about that young man. In terms of the quarterbacks, here's the talking points you get when you talk to teams. Bryce Young is going to be about 5'10". He's going to weigh about 185. And, I had a GM tell me back in the fall, how many quarterbacks look like Will Levis or Will Levis, depending on who's pronounced his name? And the answer is all of them. And how many quarterbacks look like Bryce Young? And the answer is, well, none of them. Because even Kyler Murray and Russ Wilson, those guys are thick. And if you're 185 like Bryce Young is, and I don't know if you can add a lot of weight onto that frame, the concern, of course, is durability. That said, he was the best quarterback in this group, and I don't know if it was close. C.J. Stroud certainly played, had a good season, and then put the exclamation point on it in that game against Georgia where he showed that he could also win outside of the pocket, which is one of the few questions about his game. And I like him as my number two quarterback. And then there's Will Levis, who you mentioned, Joe, going 7 in this mock draft to the Raiders. We'll see what happens. But Will Levis is a controversial quarterback in much the same way that Daniel Jones was when he came out, and Mac Jones when he came out. The difference is that Daniel Jones and Mac Jones put up numbers at Duke and Alabama their last years there. This was a tough season for Kentucky, but NFL teams like the way his 6'3", 220-ish frame. They like the fact that he has an arm, maybe the best arm in this class, and that's saying something when you're watching Anthony Richardson throw the football. And what you'll hear in terms of teams explaining away the 2022 season is that he was injured. He did have a shoulder and a foot injury. The offensive line stunk. They lost three guys to the NFL. The wide receivers were freshmen. His running back was suspended for the first four games, so on and so forth. So I get that, but I am concerned that he wasn't able to elevate that team's play because when you're drafted high in the draft, typically you're going to a team that's not very good, and you're going to be expected to elevate that team's play. And then finally, I'll mention quickly Anthony Richardson, the young man out of Florida, who I wanted him to go back to school just to get a few more reps. He didn't have a lot of reps coming into this season, and he was up and down. But he is when he's on, he is special. And when he's not on, you have a lot of questions about how you're going to try to win that football game. So those are the four quarterbacks that will be in the mix to go in the first round. None of them are here because Will Levis would have been nice for him to be in the Senior Bowl. The other three are underclassmen. And, it's going to be much more interesting this year than it was a year ago in terms of how these quarterbacks go off the board in the first round.
All right, Ryan, you have two quarterbacks going in the first three picks and three in the first seven. Are you reasonably convinced that all three of these guys will be better than Kenny Pickett?
No. And here's the thing. I'll be honest. I didn't love Kenny coming out. And I thought he was maybe closer to a second-round pick. At the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter whether you go 20th or whether you go 33rd. He proved himself once you get on the field. And on paper, Bryce Young was a better college player than Kenny Pickett. But what does that mean? We've seen guys come out of college and struggle, and we've seen guys that come out of college with not much of a resume and stay in the NFL for 10 years. I thought Kenny, you know, all the things he had to work with in terms of the struggles with the play calling and the offensive line taking a while to gel, and they certainly got better as the season went on. I thought Kenny got better each and every week. He had all those turnovers early on, and then he sort of buckled down and started making plays and helping to win football games down the stretch. So I think you have to be excited if you're the Steelers and a Steelers fan about the progress Kenny made. And I know there's some frustration that the offensive coordinator didn't change, but, you know, it is what it is, so you have to move forward with that. There are no guarantees that these young men coming out this year are going to do what Kenny did or be better. And that's what makes it so difficult. Trying to, it's one thing, you know, an offensive lineman, you can probably predict better his success in the NFL much more so than a quarterback. He's going to be asked to do a million things in a different system with different players. So, yeah, I love these kids coming out in this draft class, but I don't – I'll be honest with you, I don't know how they're going to work out once they get to the NFL.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, mock draft he just put out 3 hours ago. So let's go to pick 17. Actually, it's interesting that at pick number 8, you have Joey Porter Jr. going to the Falcons. So he's off the board. Who do you have the Steelers taking at 17?
So Devon Witherspoon out of Illinois, he's 6 feet, about 180. And last time I was on – talking about Devon Witherspoon, someone said they were worried about his size at 180, and I showed him a clip from the first game of the season where he came off the edge and absolutely blew up a screen play, and he looked like he was a 245-pound edge rusher the way he came downhill. And not only is he good in run support and plays much bigger than that 180 frame might suggest, he is a wonderful cornerback in coverage. And there are a lot of guys in that defense that are going to get drafted and had really good seasons. And Witherspoon was the leader. They have a safety, a young man, Sidney Brown, who's had a great week here in Mobile. They have a slot cornerback who's going to get drafted probably pretty early. But Witherspoon has the ability to cover down the field. He can cover on every route, short, medium, long, and he is great in run support. And that sounds pretty much like what the Steelers want in their cornerbacks. Now, they haven't had a great history of taking cornerbacks in the first round. I think Artie Burns in 2016. And then before that, I think you have to go back to 2002 where they took Chad Scott. But he's a young man that you watch play, and you don't have too many concerns about how that translates once he gets to the NFL.
Man, I'm a little surprised. Is Porter going to go that highly?
We'll see. So what happens typically is they're running quarterbacks. Wasn't the case last year, but that'll be the case this year. Offensive linemen, they could be running by offensive linemen because this class – isn't exceptionally deep at offensive line, and then edge rushers. And depending on how that shakes out, it could push Joey Porter Jr. down. And for the longest time, Keith Laringo out of Georgia was sort of, in the fall, he was supposed to be the number one guy. He had an okay season, not a great season, not what you want from a number one cornerback, not certainly like the Patrick Surtains and the J.C. Horns, and even last year, Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley Jr., not in that conversation. I think Joey Porter is closer to being in that conversation. And they typically went off the board between, 3 and 11, I believe, over the last few years. So I could see Joey Porter going in the first half of the first round. I can't imagine he would get by Pittsburgh, not just because his dad played there, but because he's probably the best cornerback in this class.
Mm. So right before the Steelers pick, you have Osiris Torrance, 6'3", I think, 6'5", 347 from Florida. Man, would he look good on the left side of the Steelers line. And obviously, he might be in the mix there, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you something, Joe. I watched him all week at practice, and he is better than advertised. He's a Louisiana transfer, and it was a seamless transition to the SEC. And he had a strong fall, and he came here, and he dominated in the one-on-one drills. He dominated the team drills, and he is – some scouts will tell you maybe first round's a little rich because of the position – but he is a guy that you plug and play for 10 years and you don't have to worry about it. And he had a really good week. And I would not be surprised to see him go in the first round. And I mean, the Steelers obviously have needs along the offensive line on some level. I'm sure they're encouraged by how the team, I think the unit didn't miss a snap together. And they certainly got better as the season went on. But if you have a chance to upgrade with someone like Torrance, I would imagine you think long and hard about it, even if maybe the cornerback you like is there as well.
Ryan, we saw Mike Tomlin paying a lot of attention to the defensive line group in Mobile. Anybody would have jumped out to him at that position, defensive lineman?
Yeah, he was actually down there coaching. You know, he wasn't on the coaching staff, quote unquote, but he was certainly giving coaching pointers, and I think the players certainly appreciated that and respected it. There's a good group down here. The issue, there aren't any first rounders likely to come out of this group, not just the Senior Bowl, but in general, it's not a light class in that sense. But Ika out of Baylor, he's about 340, but he's a two down guy, and typically those guys won't go in the first few rounds. But Jalen Redmond out of Oklahoma, he had a great week. He plays on the inside. Zach Pickens out of South Carolina similarly had a good week, and both those guys are big young men, no surprise there, but they're incredibly quick and strong, and they would win consistently in those one-on-ones and even the team drills. And a name that I like a lot, and folks might remember from Alabama just because Alabama's always on, but Byron Young, another interior defensive player. Phil Mathis came out last year. He was a day two guy. I think Byron Young's actually better than Phil Mathis in terms of the consistency, and he could be someone that ends up going on day two, maybe even early day two.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. All right, we were just talking about how many Super Bowls Mahomes is going to go to. He's 3 for 5 so far. 5 for 5 in AFC title games. And one of the points that comes up is he has a team-friendly deal so they can build around him. They have other, like, 1, 2, 3 players in the league, Creed Humphrey, Kelsey, Chris Jones, stars all over the place. They have smart people running their franchise. And now you, and plus they have picks from the Tyreek Hill deal.
And a great coach, too.
And a great coach. And you have them at number 30, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, stop taking Darnell Washington, a 6'7", 270-pound tight end slash tackle who's going to catch passes from Mahomes and block for him?
Yeah, he's a fun guy, right? So I don't know how much Georgia you watch. He wasn't the main – Brock Bowers is their main guy. And Darnell Washington, you can't fly under the radar when you're 6'7", 265-plus. But he is just a lump of clay right now that can be molded into something special. He's not Travis Kelce in terms of the way he looks or even the way he plays, but he has the added benefit of being a great blocker because of his size. He's not going to be quick, but he's a long strider, eats up cushion, and he can win downfield. He's a red zone target, all those sorts of things. But here's the funny thing. There's an opportunity for the Chiefs there at the next to last pick in the first round as we sit here. If Bijan Robinson is sitting there out of Texas because he plays running back and Chiefs don't need him. Now imagine that. I don't know. The Chiefs might do it. And why wouldn't he do it? He can catch the ball in the backfield, and we know he can run over people. And they've had success, obviously, with Isaiah Pacheco, the seventh-round pick last year, who's a rookie, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't really work out. But I would imagine they would think about it. And either way, no matter who you add, with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, as you guys talk about, that offense is going to be better because those guys over there know what they're doing.
Ryan, I want to ask you about another local guy. How about this Kansas kid from Pitt? Some people have him going in the first round. Do you?
I don't, and I was talking to a couple scouts about him. I love him, and they were actually high on him as well. The concern is he might be a little undersized. I think he's 280 maybe. I have to double-check my notes, but I love his quickness. He was consistently in the backfield. He was causing problems in terms of getting in the quarterback space and blowing up plays in the run between the tackles, and I love what he brings, that energy. And I don't know if he's an every-down player, and that may be the concern because of his size, or if you move him around depending on the down and the situation. But he had a good season at Pitt, and I think there's every reason to think he's going to be a top 60 guy, top 75 maybe on the outside. But absolutely, I love his game.
Now I'm very intrigued by this. So were you surprised? Was it Mel Kiper who had him going in the top half of the first round?
Like
then you are saying he's undersized, which he is, but he's 6 feet 280. That Aaron Donald, 6'1", 280. How about the Steelers for Kansas with the 32nd pick?
I mean, never say never. And here's the thing. I wasn't surprised that Mel had him in the first round, because the interesting thing about this draft is that while we know that there'd probably be 4 quarterbacks going, and we know the wide receivers probably and offensive linemen, after about pick 20, you could mix and match probably 20, 25 guys for those final 11 spots. And it wouldn't be a surprise. And we see it every year at the draft. There are surprises. Last year, the Patriots took Cole Strange out of UT Chattanooga, and no one saw that coming. And there could very easily be a situation where we see a tight end go late that no one saw coming, or maybe someone like a Cansey goes late that no one saw coming. And it just depends on what flavor of ice cream you like when you're the team making the decision and the needs of that person's going to fill for you. So absolutely, I could see Cansey sneaking into the first round if that was a fit for the team that felt that way. And as you mentioned, the Steelers picked 32nd, I think. So if they want to circle back and get Cansey there, it wouldn't surprise me, to say the least.
Ryan, we can't remember the last time the Steelers have had these kind of picks this high. You know, the top two, obviously, maybe the top three or four. I mean, some people don't think they're far away. This obviously a big draft for them. Can they get a lot better real quick?
Yeah, and you know, it seems pretty – I know Tomlin didn't like to talk about it, but the fact that team ended up winning more games than they lost is insane, because they were a really bad football team early on as they were sorting things out. And I understand keeping Matt Canada around for continuity in terms of Kenny Pickett's sake, but I think the play calling has to take a step as well, because we've seen a lot of these young quarterbacks around the league have success because the play callers put them in a position to have success, because they have obviously playmakers on the outside that can make plays. Freiermuth can make plays. The defense kept them in games oftentimes. So if you hit on the few draft picks that you have high and guys that contribute at the end of the roster, which the Steelers have been good at historically, there's no reason that this team can't compete. Are they as good as the Bengals? Well, no, they're not. But the Bengals, just a few years ago, they were down here coaching the Senior Bowl because they were a bad football team. So the Steelers are always in the conversation because Tomlin keeps them there. It's just a matter of getting off to a stronger start. And I think giving Kenny Pickett an opportunity to have success early and not some of the struggles that we saw last year when they were having real issues getting into the end zone.
So you have Jordan Addison going 12th to the Texans, where he would pair with Bryce Young, correct? What do you think of Addison? Is he a guy that can play anywhere?
He can play anywhere, and he's a threat in the return game, too, if you want to put him there. And he is undersized, and that's sort of the question you have to answer as a team. Are you willing to put a guy that's 175? Are you willing to draft him that high if you're concerned about, number one, catch radius, going up against these bigger cornerbacks, and the durability issue that we were talking about with Bryce Young? And I think Jordan Addison is a special player. We saw that at Pitt, obviously, with Kenny Pickett, and then we saw it last year with Caleb Williams at USC, where he picked right up where he left off when he was in the ACC. And I think he has a chance to be the first wide receiver drafted. He'll be in that conversation with Quentin Johnson out of TCU, who's a different body type, right? He's 6'5", 6'4", whatever, 212 or so. And Addison is under 6 feet, but he is absolutely electric. And he will get open consistently. And Deontay Johnson is a little bigger than he is, but that type of playmaker, and if that's what you're looking for, if that appeals to you, then Jordan Addison is going to be a guy that's going to go probably middle of the first round, worst case.
It appeals to me. So does trading Deontay, but that's beside the point. Ron has major concerns about his alma mater, Pete Skoronski, and here you bring up that concern. The bigot, and you have the Patriots taking this offensive tackle at number 14 out of Northwestern. The biggest issue he'll face during the pre-draft process will be arm length, Ron.
You know,
Skoronski.
Pickett had small
alligator
hands.
Arms.
Pickett had small hands. This guy has not lengthy arms.
His arms,
Ryan,
are too small, Ryan.
Here's what, you know, so I talked to scouts about this. How big a concern is this? And so what I get back is, it's not a problem until it becomes a problem. And that means you put him at left tackle, where he was really good at Northwestern. You try him at left tackle, and you keep him there until he shows that he can't play it. And worst case, you kick him inside. But I don't have any issues playing him outside based on what I saw. Rashawn Slater, his former teammate from Northwestern, who went the first round to the Chargers a few years ago, also had, quote-unquote, short arms. He's a better athlete. But what we kept going back to during that draft is that he handled Chase Young well in that Ohio State matchup from several years ago. And if you can handle Chase Young in his prime, you can certainly make your way in the NFL as a tackle. And that's what Rashawn Slater's done prior to getting an injury this year. But I think Skoronski has a chance to prove himself on the outside, and the Patriots certainly need to bolster that offensive line, and that would make some sense. And he feels like a Patriot in terms of the edge that he plays with, the sort of hard-nosed approach that he has, and his, you know, just go to work, get his job done type of mentality. So I don't have any issue with him at tackle, and if it proves that isn't going to work out, you just kick him inside, and you end up having a guard, probably a Pro Bowl-level guard for a decade or so.
Ryan, great stuff. People can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of this. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And
have a great weekend, guys.
Keep us abreast of where Leavis and Butthead goes, okay? Will you? Keep us abreast of that.
Also, Skoronski's arms. I don't know if there's things he can do to augment that, but please, you should have a weekly arm update on him.
Done. I will update you guys.
Hey, we had a weekly update on Pickett's hand size, didn't we?
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Folsey, Ron, my picks are in for the first round for the Steelers. I want them to take this stud tackle from Florida, the Louisiana transfer, who he just said was a star at the Senior Bowl, going one-on-one.
Going like one spot ahead?
Yes, Osiris Torrance, 6'5", 347. I want him with the first pick, and then I want Kancey. Come on, the 32nd pick? The guy is a game changer. He's the same size as Aaron Donald.
You mentioned Kiper had him, I think, 10.
Yes.
10, that's a big difference of opinion. Kiper and this guy, Ryan.
Yes, he's the same size as Aaron Donald.
And I think because of that and because of Aaron Donald, I don't think he's going to last until 32. I think somebody's going to grab him up with a first-round pick.
Imagine him going against Skoronski with those alligator arms. He'd destroy him, Ron.
He'd
pull the arms right off his
set.
Body. Be like Monty Python. Merely a flesh wound. Skoronski's out there blocking. I want Kancey. That's what I want. I might even take him with the first of those two picks. I think they need a destructive force on their defensive line.
I agree with that.
Ron, would you complain about that pick?
You like the guy that going right ahead of him, right?
I like the offensive tackle too.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't complain if they took Kancey.
Just a little interesting difference of opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like the sure thing that when I saw Kiper pick him 10, I'm thinking this guy's automatic. But now he doesn't even have him going in the first round.
I categorically disagree with Ryan Wilson when he has the Bills picking, says the Bills don't have a lot of needs. Yes, they do, Ron. Edge rusher, tackle, safety, interior of defensive line. Nobody cares, and we have pizza. I have a backup quarterback for you guys next for the Steelers. Nobody's mentioned. He'd be unbelievable. He'd be the best backup quarterback in the league, and they might save money. I'll tell you who it is next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.